This is Doug Miller. It's an amazing thing, but true, that a lot of people really don't know what mercy is all about. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are back once more. This side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, and I think it is something that all of you out there will find very profitable. So bring your Bibles, come along. We are in the sixth chapter of Job, and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. Life and light are in this word. It is by believing the gospel that people are saved and delivered out of the pit to which they are headed without it. So this word going out, you know, it has less to do with the messenger, in this case me, than it does with the God behind the word. And you will, I guarantee, find this very profitable. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization, the sole purpose of which is to see the Word of God go out. And to that end, we require the prayers, the assistance of those who have an interest in this ministry, and that can be any of you. I tell you what, if you are a believer, you have access to the throne, and I beg you, I implore you, write Dialogue down on your little prayer list and pray for Dialogue. We cannot exist out here and have any kind of effect at all without the prayers of the saints. You are critical to what we are doing. And, of course, as you hear me say on here and have heard me say, we would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to know that you're there, to know where you are, and to be able to help you in any way that we can. And I mean that, and there are no strings attached. Let us hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email, we can accommodate that. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page. You can pull that down and read about Dialogue and pull up the programs and listen to them, or down the programs, whichever direction you go with this kind of stuff. Our web page is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? Dialogue Ministries, .org. If you want to call, that's fine too. Be happy to talk to you. The telephone number is area code 405-535-9089, 405-535-9089. And there, as you've heard me say before, if you listen at all, I don't have a secretary, waiting for your call there. You'll just get a message. You leave a message, and I'll get back with you. Okay. We are in the sixth chapter of Job, and it's interesting to see. It's we saw, I'm having a little bit of difficulty here, obviously. Bear with me. In the second chapter of Job, we saw that these three friends of his, and they are, you know, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, came to comfort him. That's specifically what the 11th verse of chapter 2 says. That was their purpose and their point in coming. Well, it's very interesting that these individuals' names, there's only one of them that that you would like to have around you. Let me just give you this, and you might find this interesting. The word Bildad is a name that means son of strife. The name Shuah, which is where he is from, means depression. Now, I said there are only two of them. Zophar means exaltation, and Naamah means pleasantness. Well, so far, Eliphaz is the one that's been doing the talking. We haven't heard from these other two guys yet. But Eliphaz has certainly lived up to his name, a son of strife. If they came to comfort Job, they are not doing what the book says they came to do, because so far they haven't comforted him at all, other than perhaps by their just coming and being there. These guys simply don't know what they're doing. Now let me ask you something. I want you to think about your own life. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were really hurting? When you really needed some help? When you were cut and bleeding and down? If you say, no, I never had anything like that, I would be very surprised. I don't think there's a human walking out there, saved or unsaved, who hasn't lived through something like this. And to say, no, I never had anything like that, I just can't believe it. Of course you've had things like that. Let me tell you, let me ask you another one. Have you ever known anyone who was going through difficulty, problems, strife? The answer is, once again, of course. Man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward. Yes, we read in the book of Job, don't we? And in fact, that's chapter 5, verse 7. Man is born to trouble. It is a difficult thing that we are passing through called life. So not only have you had problems, you know a lot of people who have had them. Did you go and comfort them? Or did you have people come and comfort you? Let me ask you something a little more personal. You search your own heart about this. Have you ever been caught in sin? Have you ever been in a situation where you did things that you shouldn't have done, and later on you were sorry for them? Did you come and tell people that you were sorry? How did they treat you, and how did they deal with you? I would like just to point out something before we get into this sixth chapter of Job. In the ninth chapter of Matthew, the story is told about the calling of Matthew by the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was walking along. He passed the collection table where the tax collectors were taking in the taxes. There sat Matthew. That's what he was doing. And the Lord just stopped and said, "Follow me." And that was enough. That's all it took. Matthew left what he had been doing. He left the taxes there, got up from that table, and he followed Jesus, and so far as we can tell, he never looked back. Well, apparently, Matthew was so happy at what had happened to him. He had been called by one that he recognized as Messiah, one that was coming to save men, to bring the kingdom into Israel, to deliver people out of darkness. And here's a man who himself had been in darkness, Matthew. And so in the ninth chapter of Matthew, we read that Matthew threw a great party. And for Jesus and for Jesus' disciples, he apparently had a large home. He was probably a wealthy man. And Matthew went out and invited all of his friends to this party. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? And all of the friends showed up, and what kind of friends were they? Well, they were the kind of friends that you would expect a man like Matthew to have. They were not nice people. These were the only guys he knew. And he invited them. And guess what? They came. They came and they filled the house. And when I say they were not nice people, that is not my assessment of the thing. I mean, you know, I could say any number of things about them, but this is the Bible's assessment of it. If you are looking at the ninth chapter of Matthew, you might look at verse 10. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, in the 11th verse, we have the Pharisees saying, "Why eateth your master?" They're talking to the disciples now, not to Jesus. "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Now, in saying that, once again, this is their assessment, but it's also the assessment of the Word of God. These people that were sitting around the table eating with Jesus and his disciples in the home of Matthew, once again, to belabor a point, were not nice people. These were not the kind of people that were exactly pillars of the society. The Word of God makes that very clear. Now, for those of you who are listening to me, you need to pay very close attention to this. Jesus, when he heard them saying this, why? This is what he said. "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Now he is quoting from the Old Testament, of course, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, and Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Gets to this too. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, you might be sitting there saying, "Well, okay, what's this got to do with what we are talking about here? Job wasn't a sinner as such. I mean, God declares him the most righteous man of all." These were sinners sitting here with Jesus. Now, you might be saying, "So why are you reading this?" What I am interested in is that the Lord said to these scribes and Pharisees, who thought of themselves as the pillars of society, "Go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Go and learn what this means. Well, I've got a question here. Why did he say that to them? He was the one who was the teacher. This is what people called him. Didaskale. Epistata. The word teacher, generally translated in the King James, master. He was the teacher. Moreover, he was the living word. This was his book. It issued forth from him. Why didn't he just tell them what this meant? Because you cannot tell people what this means and have them really take it in. Go and learn what this means. How would they learn what it means? "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Well, I'm going to tell you how. It's the only way I know of. It's the only way it ever worked with me. You learn this by being put in the situation in which you are the one is in need of mercy. You are the one in need of grace. You are the one in need of care and loving kindness and tenderness. You are the one that's down and bleeding. What is it like when you're in that situation and you have people who will not extend grace and kindness and mercy to you? That's when you learn what it means. That's when you're crying out for help. Now, let's go back to Job here. Job doesn't need what he's gotten from Bildad. He needs someone who can help him, who can extend mercy and kindness and grace to him. Let's pick it up in verse 15 of Job. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are brackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. Here are individuals who are willing and ready enough to sing the praises of Job while he's up and on top. But when he's down, what do? You know, Brother Dave Gardner, those of you who are old enough to remember Brother Dave will remember perhaps he used to say, I believe that when a man is down, kick him. If he survives it, he's better for it. Well, of course, he was being funny. But, you know, it seems like there are a lot of people out there who are just that way. When a man's down, kick him. Point out what's wrong. Tell him that you're teaching him a lesson. It's a lesson he needs to learn, that you're just being helpful in your own sweet way. Oh, please, don't waste my time with that. Here is a man that needs help, and his friends who have come ostensibly to comfort him have turned against him, have turned on him like a mad dog. Look at this. The troops of Tema looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. For now ye are nothing. Ye see my casting down and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance? There you are. I haven't asked anything from you. I didn't tell you to bring me anything. I didn't tell you to come. But now that you're here, please listen. Did I say deliver me from the enemy's hand or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? I didn't do that. I am sitting here in misery and you have come to help me. And what have I gotten from you? Now, friends, let me tell you something. The people, and I've seen it time and time again, and so have you. I remember reading Jack London said on an occasion when he was, before he was ever famous as an author, and he was out on the bum riding freight trains, he said, how many times I've been hungry and I've gone to rich people's homes only to be chased away. And I got fed down in the poorest place in town. It's the poor people who sympathize with you, he said. And he said, you know, a bone given to a dog is not charity. Charity is a bone shared with a dog when you're as hungry as that dog. Now look at Job here. Where is he going to get pity? Not from these self-righteous guys. And that's exactly what they are. And you're going to see this over and over again. From Bildad and these others. They have come to help him, but they are no help to Job. Let's read on here and see some of this. Job says, teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words. But what doth your arguing reprove? You know, you come, you tell me I'm a hypocrite. You come, you tell me I've sinned. You tell me that I am suffering because of my sin. This doesn't mean anything to me. Do ye imagine to reprove words? And the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind. Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content, look upon me. For it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you. Let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again. My righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Now, look. Job does not understand what is going on with him. He's going to learn, and he's going to learn it because God is going to teach him, and God is going to use a young man, really, who's not even on the scene yet, to teach and to show Job what is happening and why he's going through this. But these older men who have come to comfort him are teaching him absolutely nothing. Now, you know, there's an old Greek proverb that says gray hair is only the sign of old age. How true, how true, how true. The wise, the older people, should have attained to a measure of wisdom. They should have learned something. But all these friends of Job, all that they are doing is proving that they have learned nothing and that they know nothing and that really their motive is not to comfort, but somehow to make themselves feel better by saying, as so many do in these situations, look at me. It's not happening to me. I feel pretty good about myself. However, allow me to point out where you are wrong. Now, let me tell you something about people. And let me tell you this about all people, myself, yourself, whoever you are out there. People are not basically good. They are basically vicious. And they are basically pretty nasty. And if you don't understand this, you had better take a look at Job's friends, because these three friends of Job are just representative of the human race as a whole. I have heard so many times people talk about innocent little children. Well, let me tell you something, friends. Little children are not innocent. They are born in sin, just like I am and just like you are, and they don't get better with time. They get worse and worse and worse. And Job, for all his self-righteousness, is going to learn that he is indeed, in fact, a sinner in need of salvation. And these friends of his, I don't know what they ever learn. But I'll tell you what, they are dead wrong in the approach that they are taking. Let me spend a little time here at the end of this broadcast. We're going to close it down here in a few seconds, but let me just ask you, all of you who are listening to me, have you ever come to the place of acknowledging your own sinfulness? Have you ever been made to see yourself for what you really are? If you have not, you may be imagining that somehow God will take your goodness and your good works and your innate decency and allow you to come into his heaven. Friends, he will not. You, if without Christ, are lost, and you need to be saved. And that comes from believing the gospel that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. Why don't you do that right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.